congregational meeting immediately following worship today. After the last hymn, we'll ask that if you just remain seated. It ought to not be long unless you all have things you want to talk about, in which case we'll talk about them as long as we need to talk about them. Does anybody know if the ARC building committee is still meeting after church today, or did they cancel? Does anyone? I know they were looking for people who knew what cubits were to help them, but I'm not sure if they're meeting. No. There are a lot of things going on in the life of our congregation. Check out your bulletin. Want to make sure you know that we've got Ash Wednesday coming up on March the 6th, which is just right around the corner, so not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. And then we don't have a meal when we do Ash Wednesday, but for the next 5 Wednesdays after that, we do. So hope that you'll join us for those meals and worship services. We are trying to get our schedule filled out on who is providing meals what weeks, and I know we've got some of those covered. If your group or family or whatever would be willing to do that, let the church office know. Give us a call or send us an email. We have back in the back still today a congregational vitality survey. It's a survey. It's just a way for us to get a snapshot about where we are in the life of our congregation. And so we hope that you will fill that out. Those are back there in the back, right on that table back there. And there is an envelope taped to the wall where you can return those. So if you haven't had a chance to do that yet, please take 5 minutes today right after church and just fill one of those out. You can get it in the envelope on the way out. We'll have those out for probably just one more week at this point, and we'd love to have as many of those come back as we can. So please do help us just get a sense of where we are by filling that out. Latifa. Please don't fold them. Yeah, just because they're going to be scored by a machine, and if you fold them, they won't be scored by a machine. So leave them flat and just drop them in that white envelope that's taped back there. I want to put in a plug. I know it's in the bulletin, but if I don't say things, then people don't realize things are happening. It's time to think about registering for camp at Luther Ridge, Luther Rock Camp Agape. I know at Luther Ridge in the middle of March, the price goes up by $40. So go ahead and look at those options now. We think this is so important in the life of faith and developing lasting faith in young people that the church is going to put $200 up for people going to Lutheridge, Luther Rock, or Agape, and the Lauren Cecil Fund will also accept applications for an additional $150 toward that camp. So you could get $350 of camp covered, which is a wonderful thing because it makes such an impact on the faith life of young people. So if you got grandkids looking at that, or if you got kids looking at that, get that registration in before the price goes up. Did we run out of red books back there, Andy, for sure? There's still some back there. The annual reports and the directories and the worship serving schedule for the coming year is in those red books that we print every year. We also this year put the audit reports and the worship serving schedule on our webpage. So if you go to hollygrovelutheranchurch.org and you click on the tab that says resources, you can see all of that online too if you'd like to see that, who's assisting minister in August of 2019, because you just have a burning desire to know that, you could go look at that on our website too. Are there other announcements we should be aware of this day? Neil. Men come eat at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. I know we've got a prayer shawl or two, I believe.
So this prayer shawl is for Sharon Everhart. She is having a knee replacement tomorrow, so she needs our prayers.
We wish happy birthday this week to Michael, Ben, Jimmy, Bonnie, Joanne, Tim, Harold, and Steve. And happy anniversary to Andy and Crystal, Chip and Ann, and Scott and Donna. Are there other ones we should add to that? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as we begin worship on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. please. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, make us instruments of your peace, that where there is hatred, we may sow love, where there is injury, pardon, and where there is despair, hope. Grant, O Divine Master, that we may seek to console, to understand, and to love in your name, for you live and reign with the Father and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation, you may be seated. If the children will join me for the children's message. Good morning, everybody. You guys, I'm looking at you guys, and I know you guys all have brothers and sisters, don't you? Yeah, am I right? Everybody's got a brother and a sister. Okay, so brothers and sisters can be really fun. You got your Elsa, that's great, I'm glad. Brothers and sisters can be really fun to play with. Does anybody's brother or sister ever make them angry, though? Yeah? I know how that goes, because I have a brother and a sister. One time, when I was in high school, my brother made me so angry that I left him at home and didn't take him to school, because he was not ready, and it was driving me crazy. And actually, I didn't even get in trouble for that, because he was never ready when it was time to leave for school. So my parents were like, sorry, you got to get to school. You got to find your own way. Yeah, so I know what it's like to be angry with a brother or a sister. And it can make you feel like you just want to be in a complete rage, and you don't want to talk to them, and you don't want to see them. Have you guys ever felt like that?
Me.
You have. Yeah, I believe you. Sometimes brothers and sisters are like that, but I bet he's nice to you a lot too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. We're going to hear. You always stay with him. That's sweet. We're going to hear a story today, and I don't know if you guys are talking about this one in children's church or not, but we're going to hear a story about a brother, a man whose brothers were not nice to him at all. His name was Joseph. Okay. Now this wasn't the same Joseph. Like Mary and Joseph, who Jesus was born to. This is another man named Joseph, and his brothers were so mean to him that they put him in a pit. They dug a big pit, and they were going to put him in it and leave him there. But then they saw some people come by and they decided, nope, you know what? We're not going to put him in the pit. We're going to sell our brother into slavery. Can you believe that? So they just gave him to these strangers, and these strangers took him to a foreign country where he had to be a slave. If you were Joseph, you think you'd be mad? I think I'd be really angry at my brothers, okay? We're going to hear the story today, though, about Joseph. Once he gets to this other country, Joseph does really well for himself. He's really powerful, and he's like the boss in this other country almost. And then his brothers show up because they're hungry. Now, what do you think Joseph does? You think he makes them pay for it? That's maybe what he wanted to do. That's maybe what we want to do sometimes when we're angry. We want to get revenge, right? But Joseph doesn't do that. Joseph forgives his brothers, and he gives them food because they were hungry. And he says, you know what? I love you. And you did this to be mean to me, but God used it for good, because now that I'm in this powerful position, I can feed all of our family because I have the food and the money that we need to do that. So even though Joseph was really angry at his brothers, he forgave them, right? That's what Jesus wants us to do with our brothers and sisters when we get angry, but not just our brothers and sisters who we live with, all of our brothers and sisters in the whole world, all people. Jesus wants us, when people are mean to us and do bad things to us, we don't have to let them do that, but Jesus also says we're supposed to forgive them, and we're supposed to continue to be in relationship, even love them, even though they're being mean to us. That's really hard, isn't it? Have you guys ever had to forgive somebody you were angry with? It's really hard because it's not what you want to do. You want to be mad. But Jesus says we're supposed to forgive each other. So we're going to pray this week and ask that Jesus would help us forgive each other. And as you guys are at home and at school this week, when somebody does something to you that they shouldn't do, and you want to be really mad and really angry with them, maybe you can pray and say, Jesus, help me forgive them. Can you practice that? Say, Jesus, help me forgive. Wonderful. Okay, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to practice that prayer again, okay? Let's pray, and I'm just going to say it, okay? God, sometimes we get so mad, especially we can get mad at the people that we're closest to and that we love the most, but we pray, Lord, that you would help us to forgive and to love even when we're angry and even when we have a right to be mad. Help us to love and to forgive. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I want you guys to practice this with me again. When you're mad and somebody has done something to you, instead of yelling and screaming or hitting or doing any of those things, I want you to stop, take a deep breath, try it. Take a deep breath. And then you pray this. Jesus, help me forgive. Jesus, help me forgive. One more time. Jesus, help me forgive. Okay, last time. Jesus, help me forgive. Can you guys try that this week? Maybe your parents can help remind you. That would be great. We are going to line up at that door and head to Children's Church with Miss Jordan for anybody who'd like to go to Children's Church. And the rest of us will stay in our seats.
The first reading of the Sunday after Epiphany comes from the 45th chapter. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him.
So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come closer to me. And they came closer. He said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve your life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to keep alive for many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him,
Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall hear me and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And he kissed off his brothers and wept upon them, and after that his brothers talked with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 37. If you do not fret because of the wicked, do not be envious of wrongdoers. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security.
Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act.
He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday.
Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in the time of trouble.
The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him.
The second reading comes from 1 Corinthians. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? And what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are the dust. And as it is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of man of dust, we also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus continues his sermon on the plain. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Okay, so it's hard to be kind and merciful when you've been wronged. Just this last week, I was on the phone with customer service, sorting out a discrepancy in an account that was the result of the institution's mistake. There was money in the account that should not have been there, that was not ours. And so when we took our time and notified this institution, somebody on the other side of the line took it all down, and then we heard nothing for a week. And at the end of that week, they sent us a cold, forceful email laying out all the legal reasons that we had to write them a check by the date that they specified. And I'm like, excuse me, we're the ones who called you and told you that this was wrong. We're the ones who took our time to wait for you on hold, and this is how you're going to play this? Of course we're going to give the money back. That's why we contacted you in the first place, but how about giving us a chance to ask questions about how this situation and your mistake will affect us? How about offering an apology for what you got wrong in the first place? So you better believe I had all of my one-liners and zingers all planned out when I called them back. All the lines about their disrespectfulness and their embarrassingly poor communication that compounded the initial issue and the lack of trust I now had in them, I laid awake planning these lines in my head. What was on my mind was landing these lines on the call, not being kind and merciful. Now, once the call started and it was a person on the other end and not just the corporate entity that I felt had wronged me, I do think I managed to dial it back just enough so that I wasn't completely disrespectful. But I share this with you to admit that even as I stand here and preach to you this morning about what we just heard Jesus say in the 6th chapter of Luke, this is hard, right? I don't always get it right either, which is why I need to hear this. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. It's a tall order, Jesus. If you were with us here last week, you might remember that Jesus starts this teaching, this Sermon on the Plain in Luke, with what we call the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are you who are poor, blessed are you who are hungry, blessed are you who weep. And in Luke, at least, when Jesus goes through all these blessed are yous, it seems like the people he's talking to are his disciples. But here, in this passage we read from today, Jesus is back to talking to everybody, the whole crowd, all that will listen, is what he says. And we've been hearing throughout Luke to this point about Jesus healing people and teaching, but this is some of the first actual teaching that Luke narrates. This is the first time we get to hear what that teaching that Jesus has been doing sounds like. And this is what Jesus says, right? Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, and then this whole other laundry list of what may sound like unpleasant tasks, right? Turn the other cheek, give to all who beg, lend without hoping to receive, do not judge, do not condemn, forgive and give. It's a lot, right? And even though this is the gospel and we said, praise to you, O Christ, even though it's straight from the mouth of Jesus, it can almost feel like this isn't good news, right? Like it's this impossible list of tasks piled onto us, one more thing and then another we should be doing but aren't and now need to feel guilty about. It can be exhausting and depressing to think about how far short we fall. I've felt those feelings, but I'm here to tell you today that when Jesus tells us to love our enemies, it is good news. And not just for our enemies, but for us. Because think about this. What kind of world do you want to live in? What kind of community do you want to be a part of? Is it one where when you mess up, people come after you to get even? Is it one where when you are wrong, someone is going to come make you pay for it? One where people grumble against you and curse you? One where they ignore your heartfelt cries for help? Or would you rather live in a world where even your adversaries treat you with respect and kindness? Would you like to live in a world where people are ready to forgive you when you mess up and help you when you are in need? When people don't retaliate against you in anger, but seek to de-escalate the situation and find understanding? That's the world I want to live in, and I'm guessing the one that you would like to have too. A world where we don't perpetuate cycles of violence and poverty, but we seek to end them. Doesn't that world sound like good news? The really good news is that this world exists. It's called the kingdom of God. And in Jesus, it's already on the way in. And in God's time, it will arrive in its fullness and all its glory. While it is true that only God can make that kingdom universal, it's also true that we have the ability to move the needle on the life of the kingdom right here, right now, today. So if you want to live in a world that looks like that kingdom of God in the near term, well, don't play by the flawed rules of this world that seek to get even and get revenge. Treat people in the way of the kingdom today and be part of growing that kingdom of God now, here in this place. Loving your enemies, that's hard, right? But Jesus is out on this level place telling anyone who will listen how they should live, and he's not doing it to make life hard on them or make life hard on us. He's telling us because he loves us. Jesus, this is very God telling the creatures that God made what's best for them. And who better in all the cosmos to know what's good for us? Who better to know than the one who created us and made us, knit us together? Don't we know, if we're honest, that we need some help with sorting out what's good for us? The difference between what we want and what actually we need? I mean, I'm happy to eat chili cheese fries all day, every day, and that sounds pretty good to me. But what's good for me is actually a diet rich in fruits and vegetables and dietary fiber. And at the end of a long day, when the kids are finally in bed, what would be good for me would be to get some exercise in. But you know I'm ready to plop down in front of the TV, and that's what I usually do, right? We just aren't very reliable creatures when it comes to actually doing what's good for us. We tend to get tripped up by what feels good in the moment. But God wants more for us than violence, fear, and vindictiveness. So God is merciful to us even when we don't deserve mercy. God loves us even when we completely disregard what God would have us do. And God sends us Jesus to try to help us get it into our thick skulls that if we want a better life and a better world, this is the way we live, by loving our enemies, by doing good to those even who hate us, by blessing those who curse us, by praying for those, even those who abuse us. This is how we usher in the kingdom of God. Not overnight, certainly, but with a lifetime of practice, we start to move ourselves, and by extension, the world, closer to God's kingdom. And if you think that sounds good and nice, but you're at a loss for how to actually get started in practice, I got three steps for you, okay? This is how we do it. Number one, figure out who your enemies are. It's not a bad idea to start with your national or political enemies, right? But then go deeper, okay? Who are the people who wrong you in life? And if you're having trouble with that one, or if that one's easy and so you're ready to move on, here's the next one. Figure out who you are wronging, okay? Meaning, who are you the enemy to? Who does your life oppress? Who suffers because of what you do, say, and have? Figure out who all of these people are, the enemies, right? Step two, pray for them. That's a hard one. Three words, pray for them, but it takes a lot of doing to pray an honest prayer that your enemies would be fed, that your enemies would have opportunities that they need, that they would be able to provide for themselves and their families, that your enemies would have the comfort of God's love. I think those are faithful prayers, and they're hard to pray, which is why we need to practice it an awful lot. Pray for them. And then step three, as you start to get used to this prayer habit, start paying attention. Start looking for the places that you can do good actively to those who oppose you and those who you oppose. Find ways to act that honor their humanity instead of simply branding them as the other. I think those are three faithful steps. Figure out who your enemies are, pray for them, and then start doing acts of goodness that recognize their humanity. I think that can get us there. If we do this, Jesus tells us that our reward is great, certainly greater than we deserve, but it's also more than we could hope for, right? It's the vendor in the marketplace filling our basket with grain that we couldn't afford, but filling it anyway, and not stopping with putting grain in our basket, but packing it down so that every crevice of the basket is filled, shaking it down, and then topping it off again so that it runs over. That's what Jesus promises that the rewards are like. And we're not talking about material rewards. What we're talking about are the rewards of the kingdom. The kingdom that we get to live now when we join Jesus in this life. Is it hard? Yeah, absolutely it is. There's no way we can do it on our own, which is why we need Jesus in this community. It is hard. But it's also good. It's good for us. It's what we need. It's what we're made for. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Let's confess what we believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Gracious Lord, we pray for your church. Fill us with a spirit of generosity and care. Lead us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Show us new ways to be helpful to others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for the nations of your world, especially for Syria, Yemen, Venezuela, and all those places that are in crisis. We pray for all researchers and leaders who work to resolve complex and difficult issues. We pray for all who teach peace and reconciliation to communities in conflict, for those affected by earthquake, drought, or storm, and for all who have come to their aid. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for those in need. We pray for those who lack adequate food, shelter, or access to medical care, for those unable to find gainful employment. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the grieving. Especially we pray for Burnett, Harold, Lydia, John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, Sue, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Gaynell, Sharon, Kathy, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for our enemies. Give them daily bread, hope, and a sense of your care for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for this assembly, Holly Grove Lutheran Church. Inspire us to be good stewards of the resources you have entrusted to us. Teach us to give freely of ourselves and to offer our lives in service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thanks be to God.